In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We will continue tonight our Bible study, the third chapter from the second letter of St. Paul to his disciple Timothy, the Bishop of Ephesus. St. Paul in chapter 3 continues to instruct his disciple Timothy about his role in protecting the church from the heresies and from the false teachers. So the theme of this chapter is how to resist, refute the heresies, and to protect the church and his flock from the false teachers. St. Paul started by speaking about evil and wickedness in the last days, from verse 1 to 5. Then from verse 6 to 9, he spoke about false teachers. From verse 10 to 14, he spoke about the faithful disciple who endures persecution in order to protect the faith. And finally, in the last verses, he spoke about abiding in the Word of God from verse 15 to 17 as a method to confirm your faith in the sound doctrine and be able to resist and refute the heresies. So let us start by reading the first five verses from verse 1 to verse 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. The first point here, when he said, know this, that in the last days. What are the last days? Many people interpret last days, the days before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But actually, if this interpretation is correct, St. Paul wouldn't say to Timothy in verse 4, and from such people turn away. So he was speaking about his time as the last days. So how can we understand the last days? You know, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ actually separated the age before Christ and after Christ. And after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and his victory over Satan, Satan now knows that he has a short time. Regardless how long is this short time, it is short time. And after this, he will be condemned eternally in the lake of fire. That's why Satan is working very hard to deceive the people. Yes, he is bound, but in spite of the fact that he is bound, but he is working very hard. And before the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, he will be released. And this will be the great tribulation. So the word the last days does not refer only to the days of the great tribulation, but last days refer to all the days after the coming of Christ, because Satan, although he is bound, but he is very active. That's why St. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times will come. Difficult times, times in which evil will grow, because Satan will try to deceive the people. And the first sin that St. Paul mentioned in his list, the sin of loving one's self. As he said in verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves. And actually, the last sin that he mentioned in verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So St. Paul is trying to say the main sin is the sin of loving oneself. And this sin will drift me away little by little from loving of God. And I will end up loving myself, hating God. Loving even the pleasures more than loving God. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself, which implies that we should love ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself implies that we should love ourselves. But here St. Paul mentioning that lover of themselves as a sin. Lovers of oneself in a selfish way to satisfy my lusts and my desires and my pleasures, this is sinful. But to love myself in a godly way, which means to care about my soul and to work out my salvation in fear and trembling, and to submit my life to God, that is the true love of oneself. So the Bible encourages us to love ourselves, but in the right way, in the proper way. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, he who finds himself will lose it. Which means, if you love yourself in the wrong way, in a selfish way, you will lose your life. But he who loses his life for my sake, for the sake of God, will find it. That is the right and the proper way of loving oneself. Then he said, lovers of money. Loves oneself will lead to loving money, because with this money I can please myself. I can satisfy the lusts and the desires of the self. I can meet the demands of the self. So I want you to see how one sin leads to the other. And St. Paul spoke before about love of money, and he said, love of money is the root of all evil. So loving oneself leads to love of money, and love of money is the root of all evil. Because with the love of money, people will become boasters. They boast of having what they have not. Many people take pride in their positions and brag about what do they have, although all what we have is not ours. It is given to God, given to us by God. And we see many people who are lovers of money. They boast and brag about their power and how much they have. And this will lead to the other sin, which is the sin of pride. They will feel that they are above others because of the money they have. And they feel that others should submit to them, serve them, be enslaved to them. That is the power of money. And they speak with this language, the language of the power of money. Like the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the poor. You can see how this rich man was a lover of money. He loved himself. He was a boaster. And also, he was a prideful person, proud. And trusting in the riches is blasphemy against God. Because now I am making the money and the mammon as God, and I'm worshiping this God, and I trust in this God more than I trust in God. That's why the Lord said, you cannot serve two masters, either God or the mammon. So, love of oneself leads to loving money, leads to being a booster, leads to becoming proud, leads to what? To blasphemy. Blasphemy because I trust in money and in the riches of the money more than I trust in God. And money here becomes another God that I worship. And the prideful person will be disobedient. Why? Obedience is the fruit and the daughter of humbleness. If you want to obey, you need to have a humble heart. But when you don't humble yourself, it will be very difficult for you to obey and to submit. So those prideful people will become disobedient even to their parents. Even, you know, by nature, the children listen and obey and trust in their parents. But because of this pride, now they become disobedient even to their parents. And this shows that the disobedience of parents is considered a great sin, because many children take this commandment to honor their parents lightly. I want you to know in the Old Testament, if a son rebelled against his parents, the commandment was to stone the son. God wants children to obey their parents and to love them and to respect them and to honor them. Because if I don't obey my parent, I will never obey God. Because God is also my spiritual father. I need to learn first how to obey my parents in order to learn how to obey God. That's why St. Paul mentioned several times, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. And because they trust themselves and trust the money, they don't feel that they have to be grateful to God or to offer thanks to God. It is my power and my strength that made all of this to myself. So why I'll be grateful to God? That's why he said, unthankful. They become unthankful. Because they don't feel that God did anything for them. They forgot that every good gift is coming from the Father of lights, as St. James says in his letter. And being thankful is not just saying words of thanksgiving. It is attitude of gratitude. It's attitude of thanksgiving, being thankful person. The person who is not thankful all the time, he complains. Some people are complainers. They don't see something good to be grateful and to be thankful. And they don't feel they need God. That's why they become unholy. Why should I go to church? Why should I worship? What should I study the Bible? What should I pray? I don't need God. I have my money, and I have my power and my strength. That's why he said, unthankful and unholy. Unholy means they don't observe the office of piety. They don't observe the practices and spiritual exercises of piety and godliness. And their heart will be hardened. You see, you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, how his heart was hardened. He saw Lazarus every day, but he didn't have compassion. Yes, love of one's self and love of money leads to the hardness of heart. And because of this, they will become unloving and unforgiving. Unloving, they don't have compassion. And unforgiving, because if somebody hurt their pride or their ego, it's not easy for them to forgive. You need to have a humble heart to be able to forgive. But because of the pride and the ego, it is very difficult for them to forgive and to love. But rather, they will gossip and they will accuse people all the time. They will speak negatively about people all the time. They will become slanderers, as St. Paul said. Slanderers, false accusers. They speak about people, gossip about them, falsely accuse them. And because they are lovers of themselves, just they want to please themselves. So they will lack every kind of self-control. Whatever their selves demand, it will be fulfilled. So it is not the spirit that leading the soul and the body, it is the opposite. The desires of the body and the desires of the soul leading the spirit. That's why they are not in control. They are not in control. So he said, without self-control. Brutal means they will become inhuman to others. They will be rude because of the hardness of heart. They have no compassion. And despisers of good. They will be involved with evil. And they don't see any good thing. And they will despise the gifts of God, the good gifts of God. And they will despise also the goodness. Goodness is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they will make fun of the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the holy life. So if you tell them, you need to live a godly life, you need to go to church, you need to have good life, they will make fun of it. They will despise it, despisers of good. Traitors, again, maybe they will deceive others. Why they will deceive others? In order to satisfy themselves. Because that is their focus, how to please themselves. So, like Judas, he betrayed his Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the love of money. For 30 pieces of silver, he became a traitor. Headstrong means they will be hard-headed. They will be stubborn. They cannot yield easily. Even in wrong. They will be impulsive in their reaction because the lack of compassion and the hardness of heart. So, when you ask them to forgive, you ask them to repent, they are hard-headed, they cannot yield, they cannot comply, they cannot obey. Haughty means to be puffed up with pride, feeling that they are better than others. And all their focus will be how to please themselves. Lover of pleasures rather than lover of God. God created us to love Him and to worship Him. But when we start loving ourselves, we will end up loving the pleasure, even if this pleasure is sin against God. We see many people sin against God because of pleasure. They gamble because gambling gives them pleasure. So they are lovers of pleasure rather than lover of God. They are involved in sexual immorality because they are lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. They are addict and alcoholic and drink. Why? Because they are lovers of pleasure more than lover of God. They go to nightclubs and they entertain themselves in ungodly way. Why? Because they are lovers of pleasure rather than lover of God. They don't pray, they don't fast because they like the pleasure and, you know, the convenience rather than becoming lover of God. So this is the conclusion. Do you love God or do you love yourself? If you love yourself in a wrong way, you cannot love God. This is the root of all evil. And some people will try to combine both ways, the world and also the godly life. So they might participate in church activities. They may attend the church. They may take communion. They may participate in any spiritual activity. Why? In order to keep their appearance from outside as godly. But they don't live a godly life. That's why St. Paul said in verse 5, having a form of godliness, from outside they may appear godly, but from within they are not. So there is inconsistency between outside and inside. That's what we call it, what? Hypocrisy. They will become hypocrite. And actually, Hypocrisy is the daughter of loving oneself. Because I want people to praise me. I want people to talk good about me. That's why I will appear or present myself as a godly person in order again to please the soul, not to worship God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness by denying its power, which means godliness has a power. Godliness has a power to transform your life. So if you lived a godly life, your life will be regenerated. Your life will be sanctified. But if you take the form of godliness from outside, not the real godly life, you will not be able to experience the power of godliness and the power of transformation. That's why St. Paul said to Timothy, from such people turn away. From such people turn away, this means those people existed in the time of St. Timothy. That's why I told you last days doesn't refer to the days before the coming of Christ, second coming of Christ, but it refers to the days after the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have to take a stand from such people. Turn away. Why? Because as St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, bad company corrupts good morals. If we hang around those people, then definitely we will be affected by them. Their ideology will affect our ideology. Their thoughts will affect mine. And gradually, I'll be conformed to them. That's why if you want to be transformed and to experience the power of godliness, you need to turn away from such people, which implies it is not wrong to make judgment and to have discernment to say these people are godly or not godly. How can I turn away from such people without being able to discern and make a judgment here? Because many times when parents say to the children, don't hang around these people, the first response is, don't judge. But St. Paul says, turn away from such people, which means we have to be able to make judgment, discernment, not to condemn them, but to be able to separate ourselves from them, lest be influenced by them. And St. Paul is saying, this ungodly life and all these sins will turn the person to a false teacher. So, if you look at the life of any heretic, any person like Arius or Nestorius, all these heretics, you will find deep down ungodly life underneath their heresies. Which means, if I live a godly life, this will keep me in the faith. And the opposite is true also. If I am confirmed in the good and sound doctrine, I will live a godly life. So both feed one another. But if I live ungodly life, I will try to change the teaching in order to fit my pleasures. Like all the people today who are defending homosexuality, and they try to defend it from the Bible, from the Word of God. Actually, they are twisting the sound doctrine and the teaching for what? In order to please themselves. So instead of repenting and returning back to God, They turn it into what? Into false teachers. So the root of any false teaching is what? Is ungodly life. That's why St. Paul said in verse 6, "For of this sort are those who creep into households." Of this sort, this kind of people, you will find some people who are creeping like, you know, deceiving, entering deceitfully into the households. Why? For what purpose? In order to receive and to deceive and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. And I want here to notice something, that those false teachers can deceive a certain quality of people, not any person. So as St. Paul said, of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of. What is the quality of people that will be enslaved to Satan and became captive to Satan? Gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. So we can ask ourselves, what does make a person easily deceived? What makes a person easily deceived? As St. Paul said, there are many reasons. Number one, lack of discernment. If I'm unable to discern and to differentiate between godly and ungodly, I'm still hanging around the ungodly people, ungodly and false teachers, then I will be exposed to this environment, and then I will be easily deceived and I will be captive of sin. Number two, if I have conscience loaded with sin, as he said, loaded down with sins, gullible women, loaded down with sins. If I have conscience loaded with sins, I differentiated before between three types of conscience: loose conscience, strict conscience, and godly conscience. And I said the loose conscience is the conscience that allows everything, even sins, and the strict conscience that prohibits everything, even what is lawful by God. So in either situation, if I have conscience that is strict or loose, I will be easily deceived. As in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, St. Paul mentioned that the bad conscience leads easily to shipwreck of faith. So we need to have a godly conscience. Number three, lustful heart. Lustful heart. As he said, gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various desires. Led away by various desires means their heart is led by various lusts. Lust of money, lust of pleasure, lust of pleasing one's body, lust, sexual lust, all these different kinds of lusts. But why he said, make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts? Because the false teacher themselves, they targeting the women in order to satisfy their own lusts. So when they meet the right prey, then, you know, they will be, take them captives. That's why he said, make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. And the word gullible means like naive. And God called us to be simple, like doves, but not naive. That's why he said, be wise like serpents. So being simple and wise is a virtue, but being naive and gullible and easily deceived will put yourself in many, many danger and risk. So, in order for a person to be captive by Satan, he will be surrounded by false teachers, and also he will have naivety, loaded, a conscience loaded with sin, led away by various lusts. But another reason that makes the person easily deceived is the ignorance of truth. Ignorance of truth. That's what St. Paul said in verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning. What kind of learning? There are many people who are learning and studying, but they don't know the truth. They cannot come to the knowledge of the truth. Maybe because they just follow any new doctrine, any new ideology. They don't examine the new doctrine and the new ideology against the truth of the Holy Bible. But sometimes actually they doubt the scripture and doubt the word of God. So although they are learning, but they are learning what? Learning doctrines that will destroy their faith. Like people who are reading books like Da Vinci Code and all these, you know, this you are learning, you are reading, but you are reading to the destruction of yourself. So always learning new doctrine, or maybe learning just for mere curiosity, or learning to criticize the truth, like people who are interested to read in biblical criticism, just to criticize the Bible. But I want to assure you, all the biblical criticism can be refuted very, very easily. But if you don't have the knowledge of truth, you will be easily deceived when you read in biblical criticism. That's why study the truth first before exposing yourself to all these doubts that's surrounding us. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, which means the knowledge of truth is the only safeguard against heresies. If you want to protect yourself from being deceived, you need to know the truth. And what is the truth? John 17:17. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. You need to know the word of God. That's why he concluded this chapter by speaking about the scripture and the word of God. This is the truth that you need to know, study, this will protect you. And St. Paul tried to assure Timothy, although he said in the last days, but he wanted to say, but this sort of people exist from the very, very beginning, even from the time of Moses. That's why he said in verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind disapproved concerning the faith. Who are Jannes and Jambres? We read in Exodus chapter 7 that when God sent Moses to Pharaoh, God gave Moses two miracles. One miracle is to put his staff on the floor and it will turn into snake. And then if he holds the snake, it will turn back to a staff. And the other miracle, to put his hand inside and it will be turned into like ice. And then when he gets outside, it will be normal again. And when Moses did these two miracles before Pharaoh, as evidence that he is sent from God, Pharaoh called the magicians, and according to the oral tradition, the names of these magicians were Jannes and Jambres. And these two magicians were able to do exactly the same miracles. So here, just I want to tell you something. Miracles can be done by God, by the power of God, but can be done also by the power of Satan. That's why don't be deceived when you hear about miracle or when you see a miracle. Don't be deceived. Many people right now are very uneasily deceived by miracles. Definitely, there are miracles, and we believe in miracles that are performed by the power of God. But before you follow any miracle or you tell any miracle to others, you need to think about it. Is this miracle done by God or by the devil? The Antichrist, when he will come, as we read in the book of Revelation, he will ask that fire come from heaven, and he will be able to descend fire from heaven. So let's assume the Antichrist offered a sacrifice, and then he said, ask it to have fire from heaven to consume this sacrifice. And then fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Are you going to believe in him because he performed this miracle? Be careful. Be careful. First examine the miracle and see if it is performed by God or not. Don't follow any miracle. Moses was able to perform a miracle by the power of God, but those magicians actually performed miracles by the power of Satan. And as St. Paul describes them, they were resisting the truth. They were resisting Moses. Because many people say, but we watch on TV miracles and we watch this happen and this happen. You need to examine first and see if these miracles are done by the power of God or not. Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. So do these also resist the truth. So St. Paul actually gave us some characteristic of false teachers. Number one, he said they are very active. How do we know this? He said in verse 6, four of this sort are those who creep into households. So they were active actually in visitation. They were visiting this house and this house and this house. So they were moving from house to house. And the Lord said to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, you will travel by land and sea to win one proselyte, but after you won him, you will make him son of hell more than you. So they may be very active, But active for what? To deceive people. That's why he called them, they creep into houses, creep into households. They enter deceitfully. So they are very active. They can be very active. Number two, they are deceiving. Deceiving. And I remember one time I said, all the power of Satan lies in his ability to deceive. And if Satan lost this power to deceive, he will become powerless. That's why in the divine liturgy we say, and when we fell through the deception of the enemy. That is the main power that Satan is using to deceive. So his soldiers, the false teacher, use the same technique. They deceive people. Number three, they have wicked intentions. They visit the households in order to make captives of naive women. Their intention is not godly. They don't visit in order to preach the truth and to win people to God, but they want to make captives of gullible women. We said they are active, they are deceiving, they have wicked intention. Number four, they resist the truth. Even if you proved the truth from the Bible, they will resist it. Because the truth will expose them. And they will believe in their wisdom and in their understanding and in their private interpretation more than the objective truth of the Bible. That's why St. Paul said also about them, they have corrupt minds. Corrupt minds. The way of godliness starts from your mind. That's why St. Paul said in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So the process of transformation starts from here, from renewing your mind. And by the way, the word metanoia, which means repentance. Metanoia is a Greek word, means renewal of mind. Because meta means to change. Metanoia, noia from the word nous, and nous in Greek means mind. So metanoia means to change your mind, to renew the mind. So the life of transformation or the life of repentance starts from renewing the mind. In the same way, ungodly life starts from what? Corrupt mind. That's why he said they have corrupt mind. And he said also about them, disapproved concerning the faith. So their faith is not approved by God. Their external godliness and external piety does not please God. With all they do and all their activity, they are not approved by God. So regarding their faith, they are disapproved. And their progress, as he said in verse 9, but they will progress no further. So maybe they will be advanced and they will become popular and they will have many followers, but for a certain time, temporarily. And then their progress, they will progress no further. They will progress no further. Why? Because their folly will be manifest to all as theirs, theirs referring to whom? To Janus and Jambres, the magicians. As theirs also was. So the people will discover their deception after some time. And that's why they will progress no further. How did we know that the folly of the magician were exposed? We read this in Exodus chapter 8, verse 18, and chapter 9, verse 11. In the 10 plagues, these magicians could not resist Moses when he sent boils and lice as part of the 10 plagues. They couldn't protect themselves. So the people realized that their power is limited because this power is from Satan, not from God. So, St. Paul is saying here from verse 6 to 9, he gave us some characteristics of the false teachers, but also he explained to us what makes a person easily deceived or becoming a captive by false teachers. And he is warning us to be watchful from the false teachers. Then from verse 10 to 14, he spoke about a faithful disciple. The faithful disciple is the disciple that will protect himself and his church, his flock, because Timothy was a bishop, from the heretical teaching and from the false teachers, even if he endured suffering for this, even if he endured persecution for this. The great Saint Athanasius was exiled 5 times, and he endured many sufferings and persecution in order to keep the faith right, not to compromise the faith. So St. Paul starts in verse 10 by saying to Timothy, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions." So as if he's telling him, you have no excuse to yield to these false teachers. You have no excuse to compromise the truth. You saw in me how I endured suffering and persecution for the word of God. And you, as my faithful disciple, you have to follow me. You have to follow me. Follow me in what? St. Paul mentioned different areas. He started by saying, you have carefully followed me, my doctrine. And here I want to highlight the word carefully. Because if you are following somebody in driving and you get distracted, you will end up in some other place. That's why to follow somebody, you need to follow carefully. So St. Paul, he is saying, Timothy, you have carefully followed me. And he said it to him, he didn't tell him, you need to follow me, but in encouraging way, you have carefully followed me. St. Paul was a motivator. He knew how to motivate the people. So he told him, you have carefully followed my doctrine. So number one, in doctrine, in teaching. The teaching and the doctrine that St. Paul learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. And these doctrines were examined by the apostles in Jerusalem. This doctrine St. Paul passed on to Timothy. So he told him, you have followed my doctrine. You need to keep them. As I give it to you, you have responsibility to keep it pure and to teach it to other men, as we spoke last week. Manner of life, my behavior, and how there is consistency between my teaching and my actions. Because if there is discrepancy or inconsistency between the teaching and the action and the actions or the behavior, then this is hypocrisy. So he told him, you didn't only listen to the teaching, but you saw the gospel lived in me, the doctrine applied in my life. That's why in the Divine Liturgy, after we read the Pauline letter and the Catholic letter, we read the Synaxarium. Because all these readings are the commandment of God. But the Synaxarium is the applied commandment of God. How those saints applied this word in their life, in the manner of life. Also, the disciple follow the teacher in the purpose, his goal. As I told you, the false teachers had wicked intentions because they want to make captives of gullible women, and they want people to follow them, not to follow God. But the purpose of a faithful teacher is to get the people to God, to make the people disciples to God, to make the people follow God, not follow himself. That is the purpose. And also, you followed my faith and love, my virtues. How I have trust and confidence in God, and how I loved God more than even my life. For God, I am willing to die all day long. So you have witnessed and you followed my faith and my love, my trust in God and my love. And also you have followed my long suffering and perseverance. Because in service, in ministry, there are many hardships and there are many afflictions. And you saw how I endured, how I was patient, how I persevered, how I didn't give up easily. Not only I persevered and I was patient, but also when I was persecuted or suffered affliction, I endured happily. I endured happily. So he told him, you have followed doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions. And he reminded him with three incidents. He told him which happened to me at Antioch. You can read this story in Acts chapter 13, verse 14, verse 50, and verse 51, what happened to St. Paul in Antioch. Iconium, you can read it in Acts chapter 14 from verse 1 to 5. And Lystra, you can read what happened to St. Paul in Acts chapter 14, verse 6 and 19. So he's reminding him by three incidents that Timothy remembered very well and maybe witnessed. What persecution I endured. Yes, I endured persecution, but that is the first half of the truth. But what is the second half of the truth? Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Many people focus only on the cross, but after the cross, there is resurrection. Yes, it is true, those who live godly in the Lord Jesus Christ will suffer. But this is the first half of the truth. The second half of the truth is, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Like St. David said in his Psalms, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, the Lord will deliver them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, the Lord will deliver them. So regarding suffering, there are two important facts. The first fact, it is inevitable for those who desire to live godly, they will suffer. But the second fact, the Lord will deliver us out of them all. Verse 12, yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So St. Paul is making, reminding us with what the Lord Jesus Christ told us. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to kingdom of God. But this is the first fact. Second fact is the Lord will deliver them out of us all. If we understand this verse, we will not ask why bad things happen to good people. Asking this question means we have wrong theology. The wrong theology means I believe that those who are good should not suffer. That's wrong theology. The right theology is all, as St. Paul said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Why? Because if you want to live godly, you will be a target for Satan. Satan will start fighting against you. So you need to expect this, but don't be afraid, because Christ is with you, and those who are with us are greater than those who are against us. So we shouldn't be afraid, we shouldn't be scared to know that we will suffer persecution. But Christ in the midst of the church, Christ in our midst, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That's why we welcome persecution, because we know Christ is with us. We expect it. We are not afraid or scared from persecution, because Christ is with us. Christ in the midst of the church. Verse 13. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now St. Paul is comparing between the false teachers and the true teachers like Timothy, the true ministers, the true bishops, the true servants. He said the faithful disciple will follow the doctrine, the manner of life, the purpose, the faith, etc. But the evil people and the imposters, imposters means the seducers, those who deceive and seduce others. Evil men and imposters, the false teachers, will grow worse and worse. Will grow from worse to worst. Deceiving and being deceived. Because the person who deceives others will be easily deceived by others. He who deceives others will be unable to protect himself from deception, but rather he will be easily deceived by others. Then St. Paul told him in verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. It's not enough to start following, but you need to continue till the end. For example, if you are going driving to Dallas, for example, and you are following somebody, so you start following him, but in the middle of the trip you changed your mind and you didn't follow, you will not reach the same destination. So it's not enough to start following, but you need to continue following till you reach your destiny, your destination. That's why St. Paul, after he told him in verse 10, you have carefully followed, now he told him, but you must continue in the things. You must continue in following all these things which you have learned and been assured of. And here I like what St. Paul said. Learned and been assured of. Compare this with those gullible women that he mentioned in verse 7, always learning. What is the difference between the learning of these people, these gullible women, and the learning of Timothy? When Timothy learned, he was assured of his learning by examining what he learned by the truth in the scripture, as he told him in verse 15. So when you learn something or you hear something, examine it first against the truth of the Bible. You need to be assured of what you heard. Not anybody will tell you anything, you just believe it and follow it. You have to have the spirit of discernment to examine and to discern between what's right and what's wrong. That's why those women were deceived, because they were continuously always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth, because they did not examine what they learned again is the truth of God, the word of God. But Timothy, he has learned and also been assured of. And not only he was assured because he examined the learning again as the teacher, but he took the doctrine or this learning from what? Trustworthy sources. That's what he told him, knowing from whom you have learned them. From whom? He was not referring to himself, St. Paul, only, but also he was referring to his grandmother, Louise, and his mother, Eunice, as he mentioned in chapter 1. So Timothy learned from trustworthy sources. He examined the truth against the scripture, the word of God. And also, he saw a consistency between the life of his teachers, his mother, his grandmother, St. Paul, and their teaching. He saw that there is consistency between their life, their godly life, and their teaching. That's why St. Paul told him, yes, you have followed, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And then he's concluding this chapter by the importance of the scripture, the word of God, in protecting me against false teaching and heresies. He told him in verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the whole scripture. Childhood, which means we should teach the whole scripture to our children. We shouldn't wait until they are adolescent and then we start teaching them the word of God. Why it is important? Because even in their childhood, they will be exposed to many false teaching. If they know the truth, then they will be able to examine what they learn against the truth. You know, in our schools, they learn about evolution and all these theories and biblical criticism. And actually, in some classes, they teach them biblical criticism, which cast doubts about the Bible. And many students come to me doubting the word of God. Why? Because these children did not learn the scripture from their truth. They did not learn the scripture from their childhood. If they learned the scripture from their childhood, now when they are exposed with all these attacks, they will be strong. We have responsibility as parents to teach our children the truth, the word of God. And we have to study it first in order to withstand and be strong against the false teaching. And that from childhood you have known the whole scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Which are able to make you wise for salvation. إن أرابيك التي تحكمك، يعني تعطيك الحكمة، لأن some deacons they read it تحكمك للخلاص. No, تحكمك يعني give you wisdom, make you wise. And that from childhood you have known the whole scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The word of God will make the person wise for salvation. Which means wise for salvation? There is heavenly wisdom and there is earthly wisdom. The heavenly wisdom leads the person to the salvation. So he may lose his life on earth for the sake of Christ in order to win his eternal life. But the earthly wisdom teach the person not to lose his life on earth. And it's okay to lose your heavenly salvation. But the word of God will make you wise for salvation through faith. Because also the word of God will confirm you in the sound doctrine, in the true faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And why the scripture is the only safeguard against the heretical teaching? Because only the scripture is the word of God, inspired by God. That's why he told him all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The whole scripture is not words of people, it is the word of God. One time, there was a discussion about homosexuality, and the response was, but it is St. Paul who condemned homosexuality, not the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means they differentiate between the words of St. Paul and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we know all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. I cannot differentiate between the words of St. Paul and the word of Jesus, because every word are written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What's inspiration? The definition of inspiration is the supernatural action of the Holy Spirit on the mind of the sacred writers, whereby the scriptures were not merely their own, but the word of God. So the inspiration means the Holy Spirit protected the writers, the authors of the scripture, so that every word they write it by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and it is infallible. Inspiration is different than dictation. Dictation means a supernatural power appear and dictate, write. So here the author doesn't have any freedom. This is not the inspiration. Inspiration is not dictation. Inspiration protected the style of the person. That's why I can say this is the style of St. Paul, this is the style of St. John, this style of St. Mark. But the Holy Spirit protecting them from making any mistakes. That is the meaning of inspiration. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Why do we should study the scripture? Because studying the scripture will make me wise. How it will make you wise? Because it is profitable for doctrine and for reproof. What does it mean, doctrine and reproof? Doctrine to teach me the sound doctrine. Reproof to make me able to refute the heretical teachings. And the word of God is able to convict the heretics of their teachings and their heresies. So that is, the word of God is profitable for doctrine and reproof. Also, it is profitable for correction, instruction, in righteousness. So the first 2 points, doctrine and reproof, is about the dogmas and the doctrine. But the second 2 points, correction and instruction, is about the practical life, the applied doctrine. Correction means to set me right, on the right track. So when I study the scripture, it will pierce my heart. It will convict me, this is wrong. So it will correct me. And also the word of God will discipline me, instruct me in righteousness, will give me tools and exercises how to overcome sin, how to grow in my spiritual life. And what is the purpose of the Holy Scripture? Why God gave us this Bible? Why God gave us His Word? In order to be perfect, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the purpose of the scripture. God wants to be perfect as He is perfect. God wants us to be complete, which means if you don't study the scripture, if you don't know the word of God, you will never be complete. You will never be equipped for every good work. In order to build a church like this, you need to have equipments. So in order to build the church of God, to build your temple, because you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit abide in you, you need equipment. And what will equip you for every good work? It is the word of God. It is good that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, totally equipped for every good work. So we can say that the sound doctrine and the godly life that we will learn from the scripture are two essential equipments in order to produce good fruits for good work. So in this chapter, St. Paul covered the point of the false teaching. He started by discussing the root of the false teaching, which is evil and ungodly life. Then he spoke about the false teachers and the characteristic of the true teacher, and then about the importance of abiding in the Word of God in order to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.